I address someone from the audience by name without embarrassing them? Well, I guess you can't answer that question unless you know who it is. And then, by that point, I would have already identified you. But anyway, David, I want to tell you it's very interesting that you're here tonight because, you know how it is in life that ideas you have at one point in your life are possessing you all the time. You're always thinking about it and like really want to know about something and doing all the research you can and really trying to understand it. And then after a while, you just really couldn't care less and you go and do something else for a while. And then suddenly it all comes back to you. And that just happened to me with some political issues. And all of a sudden, just like this week, I've been reading these articles and like, you know, today I just got this new pamphlet in the mail and I skimmed through it really quick before I drove down here. And I'm reading these 27 and 24-year-old articles about the electronics industry and production in the electronics industry and the global production of electronics. And it's something that when I was in school for art, I was very concerned about. And now I'm in school for electronics and I'm concerned about it again. Maybe that's why it came up again. And I guess I don't have an official statement to make, but for everyone else's benefit, when I was in art school, one year for my winter work, I was supposed to be doing compositions or I don't know what, and instead I gave up on electronics and I felt very upset because of the ecological impact and the human impact of conditions of production in the third world, or you know, less developed countries or whatever the PC term is. And so I came back from my winter break and they said, okay, what did you do for your winter work? And I said, well, I knit this hat. And they were all mad at me about it. And they said, well, if that's a feminist piece, it's very ill thought out. And which wasn't my intention, but in a way it was, not to do an ill thought out piece, but to think about labor or handwork, you know. And it's funny because now I'm actually going to school in Lowell, Massachusetts, which was, as you probably know, if you went to elementary school like we all did in America, or all of us who are from America, Lowell was one of the first capitals of the Industrial Revolution in America, and where they had the mills, you know, and the Lowell Mill Girls, you know. Which is basically exactly the same as, you know, Mexican maquiladora women or 27 years ago, Malaysian and Filipino women working for Intel and AMD and National Semiconductor or Fairchild, who actually were the first ones to set up a factory in Southeast Asia, which is also because Fairchild was building not only transistors but cameras. So I've been reading all this stuff about Fairchild and National Semiconductor and AMD and Intel and all these companies. And part of this was prompted by an interview I was doing. And I'm sorry, if you don't want to listen to this, please feel free to leave, because I know that this is a music show. But this is what I feel like doing right now. So I was doing an interview about a book for a book about women in experimental music, and one of the things we were talking about was the conditions of electronics production, and just this fact that electronics production has always been more than predominantly female occupation, and that in fact in Silicon Valley the assembly force was between 75% and 90% female. And then in Southeast Asia and Malaysia, Indonesia, and those countries, it was at least 90% female who were actually doing the assembly. And it's a really weird thing. I haven't found follow-up articles from, 1980, 1983. So just the same way that if you remember reading these articles in the early 80s about like VDTs, video display terminals, and when data entry first became a popular career in America, people were very concerned about carpal tunnel syndrome and staring at the screen all the time, and is it going to mess up your eyes, or are you going to have headaches, or are you going to have radiation from the screen, or carpal tunnel, all these things. And now, what is it, like 50% of American labor force spends like 6 hours a day in front of a computer screen? So maybe the health effects were slightly overstated. And maybe that's also true for the semiconductor industry, that dealing with benzene, boron, arsenic, what else do they use for doping? I know it's, gallium arsenide, so that's arsenic. I know they use boron a lot. Probably a bunch, methyl ethyl ketone, I don't know, maybe that's to glue them together or something. So maybe those things aren't as bad for your health long term as people thought they were 20 years ago, but you wonder about it. Well, anyway, the point of this whole story is that I just suddenly started buying things on eBay, and I wanted to buy some transistors, and I saw these transistors, and they had gold pins, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. These are like really early, late 60s, maybe early 70s. And so I ordered them, and they showed up, and they didn't have the gold pins. And I sent an angry email, and they said, well, that's because it's a different manufacturer and a different date code, but it's the same part. And I emailed back to the woman, and I said, well, I don't understand that, because manufacturers change their process over time, the physical way that they make things. They change the package, and they change the materials, obviously. So basically, it's not the same part. And more to the point, it's not what the photo was. That doesn't make any sense. But I also bought some issues of Raytheon magazine, which is part of my way of coming to terms with this new educational endeavor, because 50% of the, or something like that, about half the people that graduate from this program I'm in now go to work at Raytheon. Well, it makes sense because it's a 5-minute drive from my school, and that's how you can afford to live in that area. But that feels really messed up to talk about, I would never think of working at Raytheon, I guess, or now I'm in this program. So anyway, I ordered this magazine to learn about it, and my God, is it so bizarre. And the cover is of a cast iron stove from about 1860 or 1870. It was the Glenwood Range Company, which was the first successful cast iron stove manufacturer in America that was, had widespread success and sold hundreds of thousands of stoves all across America. And these were like wood burning stoves, not like you now, when you just, with your range, you turn the knob, it comes on. You had to cut up the wood, stick it in, all that stuff. So there's an article about Glenwood stoves because Raytheon bought Glenwood stoves in the 80s. There was an article about jet fighter pilots because Raytheon makes fighter planes. And there's an article about, well, this is the weirdest one. There's an it was a book review, and the book was called Not Going to Work, and it was written by a woman who, and this was also a big issue in the early 80s, if you remember, about women in the labor force. And this woman who wrote the book had been working full-time, working 45 hours a week. She also had 2 sons and a husband, and she was also trying to take care of, her family and do all this stuff. And then she said, okay, I'm not going to do it all anymore. I'm going to stop this, and I'm going to figure out economic ways that we can, have our family still succeed without being, a two-wage family. Well, anyway, of course, wouldn't you know it, the book was published by, what was it, D.E. Hinton, which is also a Raytheon subsidiary. So, and then I looked at the whole list, and I keep thinking, this is the whole point of what I was going to try to talk about with electronics. I'm back at my same crisis again, because, 8 years ago or whatever, when I started building these things, the whole reason I wanted to build things was because every time I went to a show and somebody was playing with a Behringer mixer, I was really mad, because I was like, you're being like liberated in your music by playing something that was made in slave labor in Southeast Asia. that's totally fucked up. So I wanted to build things myself. That was my own weird, that was one of my reasons, but that was part of it, was that I wanted to take responsibility for my actions or what I was doing with electronics. So then you have these questions. Okay, do you buy the export? Do you buy the American made? You know, well, shouldn't I be buying my transistors from Central Semiconductor because I think they still have a plant in America as opposed to everyone else? Well, no, from Fairchild they're 4 cents and from Central Semi they're 50 cents. So there's a clear problem right there. Well, at least I was using for my output connectors, which are very important, Switchcraft, made in America. I feel good about that company. Well, no, they're fucking owned by Raytheon. Oh, well. That's probably not news to anyone. Well, so then we're just back in the situation, or the words of Simone de Beauvoir, in a too complex situation. How do we deal with that? I'm not really sure yet. Let's try this song. I feel like I'm in Holland. Because nobody in Holland has any reaction to anything you say. Except then they want to come up to you later and give you a compliment and insult you at the same time. It's very confusing. Thank you. this one now.
Thank you.
I just want to sing one more song. This is also in reaction to a question.
You came knocking.